I figured as everybody else was able to give a few testimonies, I thought I'd go ahead and start, if that's all right, giving a few that the Lord's done for me. Is that okay tonight?
Amen. Amen.
Don't make me preach by myself. We didn't come here to run out. We came here to come up.
Amen.
Come on, isn't that right?
Amen.
People are out there, look, this is the time of heyday right now in the world. From 11 to 12, it's time to get ready because it's the new year. It's time to get excited. It's time to run the aisles, as we say. It's time to throw the confetti. But for the Christian, look, it's the time of the end. It's the time when all things must come to pass. These great promises that we have, they are coming to pass before our eyes. And what that should do to the Christian. As we watch God heal our sins, we've heard over and over again. We watch God give us peace and deliverance. How many's happy for God tonight? And not just to know Him in your head, but to know that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God that walked the shore of the Galilee walks in our midst tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. How many's happy for Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Hey, let's give him a round of applause. Is that all right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Just give you a few from this year that I can think of. I got my little son over there, Wesley. And if you look at him, he's probably going to smile at you. So he's a good boy. I love that kid with all my heart. When my wife was expecting, she's about 32 weeks along, she began to have pain, have preterm labor and things. Some of you have heard this, some of you haven't, but I just want to share what the Lord did. And, you know, that she was going, that's way too early to have a baby, you got all kinds of problems, you got to stay in the hospital for months on end, and something in me didn't want to accept that. Something in me said, I don't care if that even works out. I don't want to go that route. My faith was declaring something else.
Hey,
we went to the hospital and I went to take Dawson, my other son, to my mom and dad's. And in that time, they had hooked her up to so many things. And all them nurses running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And they're plugging this in. They're looking at this. Oh, this is bad. It's just terrible. Who knows what's going to happen? And all I was doing is rising up a big atmosphere of confusion. Rising up a big atmosphere of fear. That's why I hate hospitals. That's all they ever do to you, isn't it? You walk in there trying to get help, and all they do is make you more afraid of what you already knew. I come to the house of God because then I don't have to hear about none of that. I can hear about Jesus already died for my sin. I'm going to walk that way. Anything that comes that says that the doctor says it's going to be bad, I just dismiss that and I move on in faith because the Word is more true than any doctor's machine.
That's right, man.
The Word is more true than any man's intellect. It is truth. It's the very definition of truth.
Amen.
And I was sitting there, and I'll be honest, I was a little in the flesh. I was mad. That they, especially as a man, my wife, and I'm trying to take care of her, and they hooked all this stuff up and didn't even ask me about it or nothing. I was mad about it. But I just sat there and prayed through and said, Lord, just give me the grace to pray through this. Give me the grace to get out of the flesh myself. Give me the grace to get out of fear, to get out of confusion, and rest in faith. That God allowed this to happen. It was a Sunday night. I was expecting to go home and relax. I just got done preaching that day.
Come on.
But no, I had to spend all night in the hospital.
Come on.
Finally, all the nurses got out of there. I walked over to my wife, and she remembers, I began to set an atmosphere of faith. Look, Ellie, it's all right. I understand you're nervous, you're all worked up, but we're not going to believe any of that. I said, now listen to me. You say the same thing I am. You tell this body it's not having the baby yet. It's way too early. You tell it. You know, a lot of people think, oh, that's boastful, that's proud. No, I believe a God that hears.
Hey.
I believe faith commands. Faith has hair on its chest, and it tells the devil to shut up.
That's right, amen.
Is that all right tonight?
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to go ahead and say this if that's all right, but y'all know that Cain was from the land of Nod.
Come on. Come on.
I come from Hallelujah Avenue. I come from Glory Lane, and I'm okay to go ahead and say that because I'm not saying it to you. You're not saying it to me. We're saying it to the Word, and that's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Long story short, oh my, the doctors had it. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. Every nurse told us, oh, you're going to be here for weeks. You're going to be here for months. I said, Ella, we ain't believing none of that. We're getting out of here. And we stayed there for what, two? It was Wednesday. Wednesday morning, I remember, I was like, we're leaving today. I don't care what no doctor says. We're getting out of this place. And after they got all the little hens out again, we actually had to go to Toledo and stay there for 2 or 3 days. It was awful. Hated every minute of it. But God got the glory anyhow. Because the doctor came in. He said, you even had no contractions. She stopped the day of because we already done said this body's not having a baby yet.
Amen.
And stopped right then.
Amen.
We left that day. We actually made it to church on Wednesday. Didn't even miss a service for it.
Amen.
Had my brother preach. I'm not going to lie. I was tired. Oh my. That was a few days. Long story short, again, she always wanted to give the baby naturally. She had a C-section first time. Anybody knows doctors, you have C-section, they want you to have it every time. And that's very hard. She didn't want to do that this time, but she didn't know what she's going to do because the hospital never really allows it. And the one we go to, there's some that do, but Defiance really doesn't do that. Well, they scheduled a C-section. And we prayed and believed God. And guess what's the day? She started having contractions. This is a week early now. The C-section is scheduled a week before delivery day. She starts having contractions the morning of.
Yeah.
We walk in there. She's already, the medic, it has to be 10 centimeters. You have a baby. She was already like 7 when we got there.
Amen.
The doctor said, I don't see it's right to even give you a C-section because you're already so far along, it'd just be more trouble than what it's worth.
Yeah.
Long story short, she had the baby the way she wanted to. If we wouldn't have had the preterm labor to get the body a week ahead of time, we would have been able to get our prayers. God knows all things. It looks called to get off good. When the boat looks like it's rocking, there's an answer that told it. That boat might shake back and forth, but it's not going to break because Christ can't fail. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'll give you one just from the other, or just yesterday. Come home, I just had a vacation. Come home, want to relax. Guess what? Furnace don't work. And guess why? Don't worry, because I forgot to do something that I knew I had to fix before, and I'm a dummy head, and I didn't get it done. Can I say dummy head? Is that?
Come on. That's technical there, bro.
So I called up the trustee. That's my dad. I just give up. I just call dad. He knows about it. And we're looking at this thing, and he's testing this, testing that, and the thing's blinking at us. We're like, oh man, we don't know what's wrong. We're calling this guy, calling this, trying to figure out what is this thing doing. Then all of a sudden, Dad looks at the screen and says, hey, it tells you what it means when it blinks so many times. Isn't that right? Don't we just need to read the manual once in a while when something comes up instead of getting all worked up, getting all... Let's just go read what the Word had to say about it.
Amen. Come on.
Hallelujah. He read it, and two blinks meant what, presser switch or something? I don't know nothing, I'm not going to lie. He does, though. You go ask him later. Sure enough, it was this one thing. He found it. We cleaned it up. Yep, that's the thing causing it. He went to his work. He had one more at his work. We put it on there, and it works just fine. I'll expect to spend $100 or $200 or whatever just to get a guy out there to look at it because it's on what, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock already. You know they're going to charge an arm or leg when they come out that time. But no, God in His grace.
Amen.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm sure everyone here, if you'd been bold enough, you could have come up in here and said something for the Lord. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I believe there ain't one person that serves God can't say He's the greatest person that's ever existed. He's the greatest person that ever will exist. And I'm glad that He never stops existing.
Amen.
Churches might say He changes. People might say, even in the message, they might say, oh, it works kind of like with Brother Branham, but it's different now. No, I don't believe any of that. He's the same God right now.
Amen.
People looking for God, He's all around you all the time. As the book of Acts said, He's not very far from any one of us. And in Him we live, we breathe, and have our being. We just need to rise in faith tonight. Rise by faith that He really is what He says He is. He is my provider. He is my healer. He is my God. And I am my beloved. And He is mine. Hallelujah. Well, I hope that was okay to share for a little bit.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham, sometimes preaching, he testified for a good half hour, 45. Then he'd take his text. I got you about 10 minutes there, 15. So let's stand for a minute tonight. I'm just going to read the Word to you. Knowing, I guess Brother Taz didn't want everybody knowing I was preaching tonight, probably because of what preacher he picked. You know, I understand Brother Taz trying to keep that secret. I'll be honest, though, I was very humbled that he had asked me, of all people. It kind of caught me off guard. It actually fulfilled a prayer I was praying with Brother Josh because he's going to preach tomorrow now, and I don't have to worry about picking who's preaching. I didn't know he was going to stay longer, and the Lord worked it out, and He's wonderful. Exodus 32, verse 7 reads, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go and get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I might consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why dost thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and sayest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." I'd like to take for a text tonight, the power of knowing it's the end. The power of knowing that it's the end. Let's bow our heads together. If you have a need, again, as everybody reverence before the Lord, now God is looking at you as an individual. You close your eyes and reverence his presence. If you have a need as we approach the word, just raise your hands to him and say, Lord, fulfill my need. You know my heart. I don't want to walk out of here defeated. I want to walk with the victory. As we pray, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing each soul here tonight. We pray that you would move on the request of the people. May we all just yield ourselves now and not think of being in strife or not being even on earth, but in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. May we recognize that we are the Word made flesh today, that you love us and we love you, and you don't want us to live on the earth and struggle and trials and things. You want us to rise above and be eagles. You want us to be real Christians, that we can walk like Paul, not afraid of anything that life might bring. Equip your children, fulfill the needs on their hearts, Lord, and may you speak the word of life, we pray. We commit the service into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. 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 You may be seated tonight. Trusty. Never thought I'd ever preach from a stroller, but the Lord has a way to do funny things once in a while. Anybody offended by the stroller pulpit? All right. The power of knowing it's the end. I'm sure when Moses had this happen, as we know, he had dealt with the children of Israel for a long time. He had been called from a young age. We know his mother taught him, you're the deliverer for the children of Israel. And it was always on his mind. It was always in his heart. No matter how long he walked in the things of the world, no matter how long he walked as Pharaoh's daughter's son and things like that, there was something in him that he just couldn't rest about it. He was not called to be a minister of Egypt, was he? Isn't that right? He was called to be a son of God. He was called to lead the children of Israel out of bondage.
Come on.
And as God fulfilled Israel's every need, and we think God does that. Where's that God? He does it for us all the time, doesn't he? It's like you don't think he's there. He'll let this happen and this happen and this happen just to keep encouraging that he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He promised he always would, and God cannot lie. So when God already said to Abraham, your seed shall possess the gates of the enemy, that promise was going to work no matter what those people did. Because God had spoken, he can't take his word back. And God has spoken the same thing to the church tonight. There will be a church without spot or wrinkle. I don't care if it's on the side. I don't care if there's sin on every side. I don't care if the message church backs out on the message and they believe all this nonsense. Are you a believer? When you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall prosper.
Come on.
Amen.
And when it came down to it, what happened? God bore down 10 mighty miracles, and you think that would have been enough for them to have some faith. But it shows, if it ain't in your heart, it don't matter what God does. You can have visions, you can see miracles. It does nothing if you don't believe from the inside, because God's predestinated eye can tell if the seed's in you or not. And if there ain't no life there, you can pour the Holy Ghost down day in, day out, day in, day out. As Brother Bram said, you can receive that baptism every day of your life. And that's straight to hell. That's not what we're looking for. I'm not here to be a Pentecostal chicken. I'm here to be an eagle. One that didn't become one. One that was one.
Oh,
What then? I came to myself, and the life of God came into my heart, and it quickened to life. That is what I, by the flesh, tries to do what I think I should do. Somebody else steps in and says, do, Lord.
Amen. Come on. Preach it, brother.
You turn to the right or left, what happens as a Christian? We talk about that predestinated bungee cord.
Come on.
The further you pull, the harder it is. It's going to throw you right back. And where is it tied to? Calvary.
Amen. Come on. Hey.
Some people can break and they go out into the world and shows you what predestined in the first place. But a son of God, he can't. He can. He can try. But there's something that holds it back. And it's the grace of God.
Amen.
And it was the same in this case with Moses, wasn't it? After miracle after miracle after miracle, you think God would be fed up with these people. And he said he was. Didn't he? He said, I'm tired of dealing with unbelief. How many times he said that for us.
Amen.
But what happened? What began to move on Moses?
Come on.
What Moses? Amen. We know what Moses did. The flesh is such a bunch of rebels. Must refresh water for you.
Uh-huh.
Remember, he had a hot temper, and Brother Bram said he'd get him a hot temper wipe to help him out.
Right.
He got tired of dealing with them over and over and over again. Remember, he was supposed to speak to the rock, but he smote it twice, and God still honored him, but he never went to the promised land because of that mistake. And Moses, to the flesh, never would have interceded for these people. But there was someone in Moses.
That's right. Amen.
It shows the predestination of God. The seed of God was in him.
Come on.
And that was none other than Christ's life.
Hey.
The life of God displayed in a human. And that seed began to speak out.
Come on.
Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the same for all eternity. It's been the same all the way back from Abel, all the way till the end. It cannot change.
That's right. Amen. Right.
He began to speak out and say, remember what you have said.
Amen.
And how many times have we fought and failed? How many times have we stretched the grace of God and done things that we knew were stupid? We knew we shouldn't have been doing it, and we kept doing it anyways because we wanted to appease the flesh. But there was someone who stood up and said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
That's right. Come on.
If you leave Calvary, you've left the message of the hour.
That's right.
The blood of Christ is the Spirit of God. It's one and the same thing. For you to hear from the Spirit of God is hearing from the blood of God.
That's right. Amen.
His very essence of who He is. And every time we fail, there's an advocate with the Father. And we have a shadow of this with the children of Israel as Moses stood in the gap. What made Moses do that? He knew if he did it, it's over.
Amen.
Because he knows when God says something, it's going to happen.
Amen.
And what did God say? He says, get out of my way, Moses. Look at the Lord. He can't even contradict his own word. He said he moved through a prophet.
Come on.
He has to move through a prophet.
Come on.
So as long as the prophet stood there, he couldn't do anything yet.
That's right.
Remember the last Laodicean, the little circle. Remember what Brother Branson, when the Spirit drew it, it was all black. But he said, because of the message of this hour, there's a little light in there.
Amen.
Because the bride will leave and Laodicea will keep rolling on, and guess what it ends up in? Total blackness, but we're taken before it's all over. It proves the rapture must come before Laodicea wraps up. Aren't you happy for that? But I'm not convinced from the Church of God, from what I see in masses anyhow, and I don't think it'll ever be that way, that they're recognizing this is it. This is it. This isn't just another day. Do you understand? This is the only December 31st, 2013 you get.
Amen.
After this, it's over. What did you do with it?
Come on.
Do you recognize this might be the last day?
Come on.
How many believes we're in the end time?
Right. Come on. Amen.
Some of you do. Some of you think you do. Some of you are starting to. And if you don't, go ahead and search the internet for a little while. You'll figure out the world's falling apart on every side. Things that people wouldn't even imagine were possible are happening now on every side. To where you find children that are getting thrown into a toilet because they don't want it and it's dying and they have to go cut a pipe to get it out of there. A little baby. What kind of demon possession would possess a man or a woman to take an innocent child and kill it?
Right.
And yet millions will do it before it's born. And it's okay. I actually heard of a case. You know there's a law for fetal homicide, and it's the most hypocritical thing I could think of. Oh, if I kill it on accident, I'm guilty. Oh, but if I do it on purpose, it's all right. Woman had done crack and things like that and ended up killing the baby that was in her, and she was, what's the word for that? Prosecuted for for fetal homicide. What about every abortion that happened that day? It shows you. You don't try to reason with the world. They're done. They're so far past reasoning that it's not even going to make sense anymore. And people want to stir about politics. And yeah, that's a good sign. That's the end. But that's not the sign I was told to look for. What was the sign? Look at what the church is doing. And begin to hone it down. Let's bring it down. Let's look what the message is doing. The message so-called, because I hate to bring it to you, the message is not a denomination. If you are not in the message, you're not a message believer. If you have not received the message, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're not a message believer. Even if you go to a message church every day of your life, you must be born again. And if you're a sinner tonight, if you don't know if you're saved tonight, this could be the end. It's time to get desperate with God. It's time to realize, if I don't reach God, it's over. Imagine that day that you wake up and it's the tribulation.
Come on.
And you're the only one that knows it.
Come on.
The world will just go right on. Isn't that right? Look at Abraham and Lot for a minute. Is that all right? Look at what happened down there. What were they doing in Sodom? What does the Bible say? Eating, drinking, marrying, all the days. Until when? Until the fire came.
Amen.
Then things changed. Same in the days of Noah. They did the same things. But one day the water began to fall and things changed. But look at the believer. Somebody's a believer tonight.
Amen.
The believer wasn't caught off guard. What was Abraham doing before it came down? Where was he? He wasn't trusting in Abraham.
Right.
He said, I need to find Elohim. I need to find God. And nobody said, amen, did he? They said, the Lord communed with him. He said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I'm about to do?
Come on.
Saying he will be the possessor of heaven and earth.
Come on.
And what did he was? Abraham knew. Sodom's gone. God's already pronounced it. It's going to be destroyed. And what did he begin to do? He realized it's the end. But what did that do to Abraham? It unlocked what he really was. You got to begin to stand in the gap and say, Lord, peradventure, there's just 50 righteous in a city of, let's say, the size of Detroit. And he said, there's just 50.
Come on.
Good. Surely the Lord that's righteous will judge righteously. Surely. And what did the Lord say? If there's 50 righteous, I'll spare the whole city.
Right.
Look, it began to happen. Look, Abraham got desperate. He wasn't like we are when we pray about things. Get a little half victory over this and a half victory over that. He waited until he had everything he could get.
Come on.
And what did he do? He asked for 45, 40, 35, 30, all the way down to me. God, Lord, I know I might be tempting you, but what if there's just 10?
Come on.
He said, I will destroy it if there's even 10. And what was the Lord's true hope? If there's one, I will do it. If there's just one, because that's all he found. And before he brought down the rain, what happened? Two angels went down there, pulled out that righteous seed, and got him out of there.
That's right, man.
The believer should not be caught off guard by the end time. It should begin to quicken something within them.
Amen.
To know this is the last opportunity I have as a believer for those souls. Do you understand when you go to work, brothers and sisters, you've been with them years and years and years, you know if they don't receive the Holy Ghost, they won't exist anymore.
That's right, man.
One day.
That's right.
One day, they're gone. I even had that happen. I'm a school teacher. And one of my students came to me, and I had that strike me. Just the inspiration of what that would feel like. And I began to get very sad about it. And one of my students looked at me and said, hey, what's wrong? And I said, well, I just pictured what it's like if you're not here. And what do you think that did to me? I began to realize, this is real.
Yeah.
This isn't made up. The same God. And look, how do we need to go around handing tracts all the time? That's fine. That's good. Do we need to just tell, oh, Brother Branham said this, Brother Branham said that, and hand them Bibles and things like that? That's not what the world's looking for. They're looking for God.
Yeah. Amen.
There are Bibles in every bookstore you can find. There are Bibles, more Bibles now than there ever has been. We can print off message books left and right and hand them all out. What good has that done? What is the world looking for? The true living God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
The God that never does change. The God that lives. And when you testify to the Lord, it's there to prove to them that God lives in you.
Yeah.
It's not time to put it on the ministry. It's not time to put it on the deacons or the trustee. It's time for you as an individual to realize, this is it.
Come on,
I can't be the token on your job. I don't know them. But you can.
Amen.
You can stay in the gap as Moses said, Lord, have mercy on them. They don't know what they're doing.
Right. Amen. And I understand we don't know who's all the elect of God, and I'm sure glad God don't tell me. Because know what kind of mess we make up knowing that kind of stuff. But do you understand when this world is judged, who judges the world? It's Christ and the bride. And when those people come up, who's their judge?
That's
you. It's you. It's what you come up with now. And if you can't have mercy and grace and pleading with them now, what do you think they're going to have a chance there? I know this ain't the jumping, screaming kind of message, but we need to realize we need to have what we say we have. We need to do what we say we are. Or we're just lying to ourselves. And it's time to find the altar and say, Lord, forgive me. I've been a hypocrite. I've been a liar. Make me a real Christian. Make me a Christian like Peter. Now when I see a lame man, I'm not afraid to say, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. You know how convinced Peter was? To when the man didn't move, what did he do? He grabbed him by the hand. Can I have your hand? Is that right? I'm going to yank you. Is that okay? He yanked him up.
Come on.
Because he was too afraid to do it himself. But Peter, he said, such as I have. Not such as I'm bluffing with. Not such that I think I have. Not such that Brother Branham said or that this preacher said. Something that I know I have. It's the seed of faith.
Amen.
Go ahead and sit down. Thank you, sir. As we've been preaching in Hebrews 11, how many knows that's the faith chapter? I'm preaching on Wednesday nights on that for a while now. Do you know that faith is real? Faith is a substance. It is something more real than me holding this Bible right now. It's real if you have it. Use it.
Amen. Use it. You say, how, Brother Branham? Or Brother Branham. How, Brother Branham? Same Spirit speaking right now. How many believes that? Do you understand? I used to think when I would preach, I'm a pastor now, I thought when I got to preach other times, oh, I just used one of the messages I used before. You know what's happened every time? God leads me another way and I can't. I'm like, come on, Lord, I'm going to study again. And he said, yes, because it ain't you speaking. It's me. And this thought came to me as I began to hear the testimonies, I began to hear songs that we were singing, began to realize, Lord, this is exactly what the church needs to hear. This is it. Every day that you live is the last time you get to live that day.
Amen.
You'll never get it back. What have you done for the glory of God? If all you can do is sit on the job and just as the Holy Spirit comes near and you know they're looking at you, but you say, I don't care. I want you to know there's a living God. And you begin to raise your hands and say, praise you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done. Yeah, you're going to look like a fool, but get over it if you're a Christian. You're already foolish anyways. I wish us brothers had to look like a sister sometimes on the job so we just know but we stick out like a sore thumb anyhow. Don't you sisters feel that way? You go out there, you know they all see your long hair, they all see your dresses, and they all give you that look. What do you do after a while? You just give you whatever. They do it all the time. But a man, you know, he could put on a tie, wear a shirt, kind of blend in to where, you know, you go to eat, and what does a man do? What's a man's true problem? I think any man that'll be honest will say it's his own problem.
Yeah,
right. It's his own sufficiency in himself. He's got it together.
Right.
He can handle it just fine.
Right.
You're talking to a man that's had to battle that since I became a Christian. Thinking I can hold this together, I can do just fine. And guess what happens? Overdraw. I'm down to $1 in my bank account. I thought I could keep it together. I can't keep nothing together. But where is he? We're not looking. It's the end time. It's time to realize where Jesus Christ is. Do you know that the seven seals revealed Christ?
Right.
It didn't create him. It didn't bring him. He was revealed.
Amen.
What does revealed mean? It was there. You just couldn't see it. Where is Christ revealed in the end time? In you.
Amen.
The mystery of the Gentiles. Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why when you go on the job and you go, you're like, Lord, I want to see them healed. You know what he's waiting for you to do? You do it. You lay your hands on the sick. I've already told you to do it. Get going. What was the Great Commission? Go. Can I just stop there? Go into all the world. That means you have to go. Oh, it doesn't mean I just sit as a little message monk in my home and I just, you know, have my little devotion, my little religion. No, you're here to live for others.
Right.
You're here to show that this God can live anywhere.
Amen.
And that's why God ordained this last day. He ordained this age to show that no matter what Satan had, no matter what Satan could unleash because he was allowed to. Remember those angels hold back? They said, go ahead, angels, get out of the way. Go ahead, devils, have at them. But just like Job, he wasn't worried about it. God ain't worried about it. Because he's not looking at you and I. He's looking at what he put in you before the foundation of the world. As you begin to see the message personally revealed to you, you'll see why that phrase means everything. Before the foundation of the world. You know how many things Brother Branham says about that? Over and over and over again. When did Christ marry the bride?
Before.
Go ahead. Before the foundation of the world. What is going to give you rapture faith that one day as you're walking with God, remember that's how Enoch did it. He didn't just sprint with God. Oh, we're going to serve, we're going to praise, we're going to... And then just fizzle out. Seen that a little too much, haven't we? I'm not used to it. When I see somebody want to sprint out the gate, I say, oh, Lord, have mercy. They might burn out here soon. It's that person that just loves God. They're just serving day by day. Say, Lord, bring me higher. Bring me higher. And I believe in that, but Lord, I know there's more promise here. There's more than that. And I think it's time to quit leaving all the promises of God up on the shelf. We've heard that expression, haven't we? Oh, God just haven't revealed it yet. It's up on the shelf. Well, hey, last I checked, I'm a believer and I own this place.
Amen.
And I'm just going to go over here and grab this stepladder and I'm going to put it right there and say, by faith, believing in who you are, believing in who he is. Saying, Lord, I see that promise of God. It might be healing. It might be salvation. It might be the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That when you wake up, you know, I'm saved, devil. You can't talk me out of it anymore. There was a day when Paul realized, you devil, can't do nothing on me. You say, oh, that's a little arrogant. Not when you know why you have it. Paul didn't say, I deserve this. He said, because of the blood of Christ, I was the chiefest of sinners, but God has given me eternal life. And God has given me power over all the enemy. I see that divine healing there. I'm going to step up here by faith in the name of Jesus. Give me that, devil. Hallelujah. I think you might believe that tonight. I think you might walk out of here a little bit more encouraged to take the promises of God and to hold on to them. Not just for yourself, for every person you come in contact with. Lord, help me. Lord, help us to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God that constantly talks to us. Constantly. And to think that the God of the universe occupies his time on talking to me. And how many times we'll put him in the corner and we'll get this out and watch this YouTube for, just clip after clip. Am I the only one that's ever done that? Well, you know what happens? What happens? Every time you do it, the atmosphere gets more convicting. More convicting. More convicting. Because, look, there ain't no time to waste. There ain't no time to waste. When you're at home and you're all by yourself, what can you do? You can pray.
Amen.
And I think the church would be a lot further along if everybody would just be a prayer warrior.
Amen.
Say, well, nobody sees me. Exactly the point.
Amen.
Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, you want reward in heaven? Go do it in secret.
Amen.
And God will hear you in heaven.
That's right. Amen.
I wonder how many of us are saved because of secret prayers from our parents or our grandparents or on so on, or the other believer that knew we needed the Holy Ghost and he prayed for us. I wonder if we could just zoom out of this world and our little carnal life that we like to give so much time to and see the real plan of God and see how he's interceded. People have interceded time and time again. Excuse me. I'm sure Israel, remember they had just made that golden calf. They were just worshiping it. I'm sure they weren't even thinking the judgments of God would come to the Lord.
They weren't worried about it.
There was one thing that knew, and that was the elect of God standing, not by himself, but in the presence of God. He knew what would happen. And though they walked in their ignorance, he knows, I must intercede now, or they're dead.
Amen.
Abraham, the same thing. So what does it do when a believer finally realizes it's the end time? It begins to quicken in them the true potential of the believer. To where even Jesus Christ himself, the Word of God made flesh. What happened when he realized the cross was coming? What did he do? It was so strong on him. And as we know, that Brother Branham said, the Spirit of God left him. He had to go as just a mortal man. He began to pray. And what was his prayer? Lord, if it's possible, take this from me. Nevertheless, not mine. Not mine. I'm glad one day I realized that God already knows all about it. He already knows. When I try to give
Well, you might as well just say it. Lord, I'm sorry, I'm a hypocrite.
Amen.
You'll get someone with God like that. You go halfway, you might as well forget it. You ain't going to waste no time. Jesus prayed. It wasn't enough. He began to come back. What happened? All of the carnal believers don't fell asleep.
That's right.
They fall asleep out there and you might go on.
Like I said, sometimes I don't think we all recognize this could be it. I mean, really, I'm not even trying to scare anybody. I'm saying just for the fact, right now, could be it. It's going to happen to the point where the message as a whole will not know it. I'm convinced of that. I hope that doesn't offend somebody's doctrine or anything, but it's to the individual. It is to you. Behold, I send you, Elijah the prophet. And that must be my name. And not just my old carnal name. I must identify with the name of Christ. That's what the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It's Jesus Christ. Hey, what do you think will give you a rapture of faith to recognize that you and Christ are one? And when he went up to the Father, I was already in him, and he was already accepted. And God has already accepted me. And he's already promised this in the Word, that my bride in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, she'll be glorified.
Come on.
So I'm not guessing about it. I know I have received and whom I have believed.
Amen.
It must be you as an individual. You must be Jesus Christ. You must be able to say, I am sealed with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Jesus, as a man, began to realize that this was it. His whole ministry was coming to his climax that he knew from the beginning. He was coming to earth to die. And the thing of that was your ministry. If we judge his ministry the way we like to judge ministries, we think he failed. How many converts did he have when it was done? When it was really all done, how many did he have? They all left. All of them. Even the word Peter denies him 3 times. Could you imagine the grace of God to that man when Jesus himself, remember the Bible says he turned and looked at him. You can think you were good in the world or whatever, but you did the same thing.
Right?
You denied him because something on the inside said he is the Savior. Something on the inside said he is my Lord. But our flesh would begin to deny that. And then one day when you met eyes with him, what happened? There ain't no such thing as no dry confession. I hope you didn't think you received the Holy Ghost just, I got it. You need to die.
Yeah.
So there can be a resurrection. You have to meet Calvary and die there.
That's right, man.
Until every desire dies. And I hope that each one has that tonight. I don't know, but I know he does, and I know that you know. We can lie and lie to ourselves and try to trick ourselves. There's someone on the inside that knows if you're right with God or not. So I don't believe you'd be here tonight, especially on New Year's Eve. 11:40, listening to preaching. I don't think you'd be here if you weren't serious with God.
Amen.
But don't leave without the promise. Realize, God, you promise this, I will have what I say. Do you know that the Lord hearkened to Moses to take the plagues away? You know that's what the Bible says? It didn't say the Lord took them away. It says the Lord hearkened to the voice of Moses. Why? Because God already knew he'll say exactly what I want to say, because that's not him talking. That's the word that I am reproduced in him, and he'll say the same thing. And that's the message of the hour to the bride. It's not you. You're not just some church. You're not just some group of people. You are the Word made flesh again. And the 7 seals came. It unlocked that to show you that Christ is here in your heart. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you know that Brother Man said that's not a second person, that's not a third person, that's the same person of God that was in Jesus Christ. The same baptism he received is what we receive.
That's right.
The same potential that he had is in every believer. I don't care if you're a housewife sitting at home, if you'll speak what the Word has said, God will honor it.
Amen.
Say, to how far can I ask? What did Jesus say? Ask that your joys might be. And if we'll be honest, we don't always ask that way, do we? We think God's holding his blessing back from us. God wants to give any person here the Holy Ghost so much more than you ever want to receive it.
Amen.
God wanted Israel to be saved and in the promised land so much more than they ever did. I say, how is that? Look how much work he went into to try to get them out of Egypt and give them manna every day from heaven. And when they needed quails, he got them that. And when they needed water, he let it come out of a rock in the middle of the desert somewhere. Who cared more, God or the people? God did.
to the point where even in Sodom, as they had wickedly sinned over and over and over again, just like America is. But God, in His mercy, found His servant, said, "I will talk to him about it," knowing that he would intercede. But there came a day when the wrath of God could no longer be held back, and God had to wipe out Sodom. He had to punish the children of Israel. You know, every time they complained, people died. Every time. Lord, help me never to complain. That's the number one thing a Christian ain't never going to get a good reason to complain. God don't care what you go through. He don't care about that. He predestinated it. Not only that, He ordained it. He said it's going to be this way and it's for your good. You better not whine about it. Because you do. How many knows? You start whining, you might as well just forget it. You're going to get it again. And it's going to be harder and harder. You might as well just accept what God gives you and say, "Lord, give me grace to walk through this trial." Hallelujah. And that's what Christ did Himself. God is no respecter of persons. If He demands it out of you and I, He said, "I'll do it myself." And that's why in the garden He cried out and said, "Lord, if there's any Father, if there's any way, let this pass from me, but nevertheless Your will be done." And He kept praying. How many times? 3 times. Until He broke through. And what did it do? He knew it was the end and unlocked what Christ was to where He could live for others to the potential no man ever could. Amen. And if He didn't do that, what would have happened to you and I? Could you imagine if there wasn't a Calvary to run to? What would you and I do? Amen. There's no reason to live anymore. But Him, as the Bible says, He saw the joy set before Him. And He had broke through as a man into seeing the promise of God, knowing what it would cost. Amen. Samson had to have that happen too, didn't he? He got there. He had done backslide. He'd already ruined God's channel. He'd already broken what would have been God's perfect will. And he was there, eyes bulged out, serving them so long his hair had grown back. Who knows, that could have been years. He was a slave. But what happened when he recognized it was the end? It unlocked what was in Samson the whole time. His calling. What was Samson's calling? Destroy all the Philistines. Remember, he was held there. And what was his simple prayer? "Let me die. Let me die. Just let me see You glorified, Lord. One more time."
Amen.
And if we'll live every day like Samson lived that day, you'll be a successful Christian.
Right.
But you'll live every day saying, "Lord, today, let it just be once more. That the power of God can move through me, not just to boast myself in me, so that the devil can be defeated and You can be glorified."
Amen.
And what happened? God honored it every single time a man got serious with God. God honored him. Samson pulled that building down. It says he killed more at his death than he did in all of his backslidden life. And if you'll consecrate 5 minutes to God, you'll get so much more out of it than halfway consecrated for 20 years.
Amen.
Jesus went to the cross. He was able to fulfill the word because he recognized this is it. This is the end. I have to fulfill the word or all is lost. And he prayed through until he was ready. And he walked in faith to the point where he walked right to them. And they said, "Where is Jesus?" He said, "Find me." What kind of effect did that have? Remember what happened? It said they all fell backwards.
What?
This wasn't no ordinary man. This was the word made flesh. Mercy in the same God is here right now.
Amen.
In the hearts of you and I. Betraying that He is still alive. Can you make this a personal service? You understand what I mean? That this is you and Christ right now. Say, "Well, I'm looking for Brother Andrew to say this, or I'm looking for them to do this." No, you look for Christ and what He's trying to get to you. If we go to service and every believer not worry about what the neighbor's doing, or "Oh, baby cried, let's all turn and stare at it, make sure we disrupt the service. And I'll say, oh, there was a noise there. Let's all focus in on it." What does that do every time? It begins to break things, doesn't it? And it takes a while for us to, let's just all channel right in. And I hope you take this home with you, that every service you go to, you do the same thing.
Right,
it's not just the preacher. It's every person.
Amen.
Do you know what the doctrine of Nicolaitan is? How many knows that that's the seed of the Antichrist?
Amen.
You know what Brother Aaron said that was? It's taking the ministry away from the laity and separating the priesthood from the laity. If you come to church not expecting God to use you, you're backslidden. Do you understand that? Do you know God might lead you to lay hands on somebody else in the middle of the service? And you have a gift of healing, but since you're so afraid of church order and things that the people have been told, look, church order ain't there to hinder God. It's there to help God. If we're all texting and passing notes and stuff, God ain't moving. He ain't gonna move. But if we all worship God in the spirit and truth, you can run the aisles, you can jump up and down, it don't matter. That's the spirit of God. We're here to encourage those things. We're here to encourage you. And maybe God wants you to do it. Maybe he doesn't want the preacher to do it every time. Maybe he wants you to do it. To the point you married Brother Brandon, the woman was sitting there. How many knows the story? And that woman, yeah, she had a prayer card or something. She's like, and she kept feeling, pray for that lady, pray for that lady, pray for that lady. And eventually she just did it. She's like, I know you have a prayer card. I know you'll pray with Brother Brandon, but I just feel led to pray for you. And he did it. And she did. That woman prayed for that other lady. When she had a baby or something like that was sick. She ended up going to the prayer line anyways. What did Brother Brandon say? You're already healed. God knew that that woman could have more compassion on you than I could as a man. And you're already healed. Oh, that's the prophet of Malachi 4.
Amen.
The greatest ministry ever Jesus Christ used to make the sign for the whole world to see that he's still alive.
Amen.
And a little woman was just a leading of the Lord.
Right.
Just that little bit in her heart that kept speaking. Amen. We think that's just us, don't we? We think that's just all we can. We reason with him. Or you know what? You don't do it.
Come on.
You don't pray for him. You don't. I might look fanatical. You already are.
Go ahead.
What's the worst that's going to happen? They're still going to be sick? Nothing changed then, right? Nothing. But you've got everything to gain. And if you're a believer, it's going to happen. I'm convinced that if every believer will just have faith, it will happen every time. I've seen it too many times. It hasn't failed yet. Because it's not going to fail. It's not you and I. It's Jesus Christ manifesting his word in us. And the word was restored back that we don't have to guess around and think what God's going to do or how he works. We know because I'm his wife. I'm married and I have communion with him. There's one woman in here I know better than probably everybody else in here, and that's her. Why? Because we're married. And there's a life in us that connects together. Yes, brother. Brother Dawson. That's my son. Hallelujah. See, that's all right. Look what happened. He received correction and we'll move on. Help us, Lord. Just do what he said. Go sit down in the chair and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to wrap it up soon if that's all right. I'm losing my voice quick. I don't know why. I wasn't preaching before then. Y'all don't need to stare at me like that. You can praise the Lord or something. I'm going to share this with you. We had a brother from India. No, his name's Brother Samson, Shetty, and Todd, I believe that's his last name. There was one thing I really loved about that brother, is every time we were talking, you know what happened the second we stopped talking? You know what he had to say? Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
And what happened to me, I felt rebuked right away. I said, Lord, forgive me for being like Laodicea and afraid to praise you like the Bible said, pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Really, we should do that, Omar. And it's all right to say the promise of God. It ain't the spoken thought, was it? It was the spoken word. And I wonder how many potentials are in the house of God that have stayed thoughts but don't become words. I'm going to go ahead and be a minister. Is that all right? And be real transparent with you. Do you know every time that I can remember praying for somebody, the devil tells me it won't happen? I have to overcome that and believe anyhow. And people will look at you as a minister and be like, oh my, he's just a soldier of faith. And no, I fight the same doubts any man does.
Amen. Come on.
But I've learned that's the devil.
That's right.
And the devil is a liar. He can't tell me the truth.
Amen.
He can't.
Come on.
He can't tell me the truth. He can't tell me the truth. For him to do that, he'd have to be the word.
Amen. Come on.
And that means he done repented and got the Holy Ghost like I did.
Come on.
We know that ain't truth, don't we? But every time we take a promise of God, the enemy's going to be there. But if you have to recognize, we say, even in that person's life, this could be the end of their life if they don't get healed. You know, my child might have died. Who knows if he returned labor and all this thing. He could have died. But there's something in faith. It don't put up with what the devil's got to say about something. It says what the word's got to say about it. What did Moses go back to? He didn't say, look at me, I'm this and that. He says, remember your promise to Abraham. Remember what the word said about this situation, that these people would inherit this land. And the word said already in the message of God that when you hear the message you've heard from your theophany, and there ain't no extra theophanies in heaven, if you've heard from it, you're sealed. That's you meeting you, and it's going to come together one of these days, and we're going to go to glory. I hope you've recognized your message.
Amen.
Amen.
Not the message of another round, not the message of another brother, the message of the hour to you.
That's right.
Amen.
What does the Bible say about comparing themselves by themselves? Looking at this person, looking at them, it's not wise.
That's right.
Amen.
You'll never get anywhere with God if you're trying to measure up to a man. Say, Lord, make this word into the word I saw in a man that walked the shores of Galilee.
Amen.
Let the word in here have the same faith when he saw a legion of devils.
Right.
He wasn't afraid of it.
Amen.
To where the devils were shaking in their boots when they saw him. He said, have you come to torment us before the time? And Jesus didn't have to do some big shouting long prayer, did he?
Nope.
That's the Son of God, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Do you know that's all Jesus Christ was? Was a Son of God, baptized with the Holy Ghost? Oh, you mean there's nothing else for us to look for? Absolutely not. That's it. When you're born again, you are given everything God will ever get out of your life. It's in you now. And how much faith can you muster to let God bring that to pass? We talked about the statue of perfect man. Isn't that what it is? The seed of God coming to life. And it produces the character of God. Anything contrary to that character, you go ahead and dismiss it. It's the devil. If it's not faith, if it's not virtue, if it's not knowledge of the word, if it's not temperance with your brother, if it's not patience for one another, if it's not brotherly kindness, and it ain't godliness, and it ain't charity, it's the devil.
Amen.
And that's where you see the two changes, don't you? Either they'll just go on character, oh, we just have character, but ain't got no power. That don't make no sense. Brother Brandon, or sorry, Jesus Christ walked with the greatest character ever hit the world. Look what kind of power accompanied him. They go hand in hand. And for you to have power without character, we already know what that is. That's intended. And there's plenty of men, we know anointed ones at the end time. We've heard all these things before. I trust that if you've studied the message at all, you've heard things of this sort. That just because the Holy Ghost comes down doesn't necessarily mean it's right. It's what does that do to the life within you. And when you feel the presence of God, do you love it?
Amen.
And it's not just I like to feel it. I like what it does to my life.
Amen.
Every time I'm in the presence of God, it begins to give me more faith.
Amen.
It begins to take the focus off my life and how I can live for others. It begins to let divine love begin to flow. And what comes with that? A surge of power. Well, what's the only thing that's ever going to get the bride to start doing what she's supposed to be doing? She has to recognize it's all. The last surge there will ever be. God's not sending a gate messenger. There's nothing else to restore. Have we ever thought about that? You've been restored to the original. What's better than the original?
Amen.
Nothing. When God creates something, it's perfect.
Amen. Right. Amen.
I'm going to read a quote and try to wrap up here. So I can't quite read it. Tolkien 63. They become one, and so does the bride and Christ become one. The ministry of the bride, listen closely, and the ministry of Christ is the same. Don't look, the prophet's telling you, don't put Jesus Christ on a pedestal you never can get to. The blood has already covered the whole path to get back up there. And if you've been accepted in the blood, if you've received the seal of the Holy Ghost, you're already up there. You are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. God, we need to come to service already in the Spirit, knowing that we've already been brought to the Spirit.
Amen.
We don't congregate together. We should all be people already in the Spirit to give, to come together and let all our fire come together to where the devil ain't got nowhere to go no more.
Come on.
Now when the sinner comes, he don't get comfortable. He either gets convicted or he runs out the door.
Come on.
Amen. Too often I've watched sin just be able to sit in the church and that shows there's something wrong somewhere. Holy Spirit didn't put up with sin and Peter did it. Now it wasn't Peter now, the Holy Spirit in Peter put up with sin. When Ananias fired by, they both dropped down dead. And the Holy Spirit does what it's supposed to do. The ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. And remember, these former treaties, O Theophilus, have I wrote to you that Jesus began to do and continues to do. His death didn't stop him. How many believe that tonight?
Amen.
No, sir, he returned again, not a third person, but the same person returned again in the form of the Holy Ghost and continued to work on and continues on, said the book of Acts. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the token. That's the sign.
Right.
Amen.
I had this thought, and I don't have a quote for it necessarily, so you take it for what it is. But when the Bible says that there will be signs and wonders, I believe they're the exact same thing. But to the believer, it's a sign. To the world, it's just a wonder. They have no idea what it is. When we see healing, when we heard the word, we heard discernment, it was a sign to us. Malachi 4 came. And he came for a purpose to bring me back to the word. To save my soul and to make me a Christian. While the rest of the world just looks at it and wonders about it. Well, how come he can't get his dates right? How come he can't do all these things? What I want to fuss and stew about. My goodness, it makes me want to go home and vomit. I said, Ma, I want to see you tell me the same story twice in a couple hours, and I'll make sure every detail is exactly the same every time.
Come on.
God have mercy. People think that I'm wrong. They're either one or the other. They think he's a man too much.
Come on.
Or they think he has to be a God.
Come on.
We know that he's a minor God, I understand that, but to the point where he can't make a mistake. He can't say 53 instead of 55. Anyways, I don't mean to go on tangents, but that's the sign, that's the token. When Peter and John passed through the gate called Beautiful, they laid a man who had been crippled, lame from his mother's womb, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And see, and they talk to them and know that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but they taken notice to them that they had been with Jesus. See, the token was there, displaying, see, such as I have, seeing a poor fallen brother laying there crippled and disfigured and everything. And the same life that was in Christ was in them, such as I have. In my name they shall cast out devils. Not I will, not Jesus. You will, if you say to this mountain, not if I say it. If you say to this mountain, oh brother, the hour of that token to be displayed is at hand.
Amen.
We can see it. We know that we're near the end now. We've brought all kinds of messages up to show signs and wonders. And now here we come back for what the church has got to do. The token has got to be displayed.
Amen.
It's not good enough just to receive the Holy Ghost if it doesn't come out of your life.
Right.
Chances are you ain't got it yet, because what the Holy Ghost began to do in me, I couldn't hold back with all that I had within me. It began to burst forth, because you can't stop life.
Amen.
You have weeds coming up out of your concrete, right? And we'll go out there and put more concrete, spray it off. Guess what? Give it enough time, you ain't going to win. Life wins.
Amen.
I don't care how much concrete the devil wants to put in your life. Be a son of God and let the life of God begin to come up. It'll break all that foul ground right up, and the word will spring up and take over. I don't care if it's healing. I don't care if it's depression. I don't care if you're fighting complexes. I don't care if you can't love that brother that treats you like dirt.
Come on.
There's a life in you that came.
Amen.
And if you've received the Holy Ghost, how many knows that you've met God?
Amen.
How many knows that you were changed from death to life?
Amen.
How many knows that every redemption promise Jesus died for is your personal possession?
Amen.
Not your collective possession.
That's right.
Every believer possesses these signs
that
follow them that liberty.
Amen.
Stand together for right approach of midnight in the next minute here. Sorry, Brother Taz, I got a little carried away there. How many love starting the new year out in the Word of God? And as we stand in His presence, how many feels His presence here? Do you know that He came to meet with you?
Yes.
As an individual, He didn't come because He came to you. He's coming to you. And what does He want from you in 2014? It's 50 years since the seals were open. We're all running in parallels, and I don't get into all that all too much. But it's the time, church. It's the end time. Let's bow our heads together. Reverence His presence now. Don't hinder the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Say, well, I don't know how to do it. Let this be the day you figure that out and just let go and let God. You say, well, I just feel all I can think of is just say praise God. Well, say that. All I can think of is just raise my hands all the way to the ceiling and not being a hypocrite about it and not just kind of halfway doing it. I'm just going to praise Him with all my heart. You go ahead and do that. If you've got to just give Him everything, if you've got to break down and cry, if you've got to shout, you've got to scream, whatever it is, make sure that you're in fellowship with God like you're supposed to be. As we approach, this is it, church. This is the end time. And you go ahead and pray the new year in right now the way you want it to end. Knowing that this is it. Don't look around. Don't disrespect His presence. You're not disrespecting me. It doesn't matter. I'm a man. God is here in your midst. And if you could see the things that are seen in this place right now, you would know it's time to get desperate with God. It's time to quit worrying about somebody else's feelings. It's time to quit worrying about the things of the world. It's time for me to get in complete fellowship with God to where I'm out of the picture entirely and Jesus Christ manifest Himself the same today as He promised He would in my life. Pray with all your heart. I'll lead in prayer, but look, it's up to you now what to do with this word, what to do with the Holy Ghost you've been given. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this gathering of this people and the power of God being amongst us, Lord. We thank You for restoring the word to us, Lord, that we don't have to guess, but we know where we're at, Lord. The time is running short as we look at the hourglass of time. There's only a few sands left. Oh God, may that begin to quicken in every heart that's in this divine audience. By the Spirit of God, may it begin to quicken in each one that seed of faith. And may they begin to believe and confess what the Word has said. May they begin to think of loved ones, of co-workers, of those that are lost and out of sin. May they begin to cry and to beg and to plead just as Moses did. May they begin to bring a desperation to each believer to know that it's time for those souls to come in. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord, for all the blessings You've given to us. We thank You for the souls that have come in. We thank You for saving us, Lord, and for giving us the Holy Ghost. But Lord, don't let us sit on the promises of God. May those promises be made manifest in every believer in this place right now. Lord, I pray for this congregation. Lord, as we know that all things are possible to them that will believe, and I believe to be in a group of believers, if there's one here sick, may they receive their healing now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, you're a liar. You have no power over them. They are well in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, if there's one soul here that hasn't been sealed with the Holy Ghost, Lord, knowing that You're the only one, but You sent the word, Lord, I pray it would fall even as it's spoken now on every heart that needs it. May they begin to open up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was a hypocrite. I'm sorry I didn't repent of all my sins. I'm sorry I love that thing in the world more than You. I'm here now to love You with every bit of my heart. And as they begin to break down and die, I pray that the Spirit of God would infill them and they would raise in a new life. Not a life of the flesh, not a life of this world, but a life of the Word. That You could show that You're alive in their heart. Oh, grant to each believer, we pray. We thank You, Lord, for bringing us together. We thank You, Lord, that You've let us overcome another year and brought us closer and given us more faith and more revelation and healing and provision and just all these abundant love gifts that You give us over and over again. I pray each believer would begin to see in a clear light their position in You. That all the signs of the believer, all the power of God may follow their lives. Lord, that when they come to the house of God, may this day change things, Lord. May they go to the house of God every time and know that the power of God is there to manifest. And not just in somebody else, not just in the preacher, but in their life, the power of God is there to show that Jesus Christ lives. Lord, let us be a bright and shining light to this dark age. We know there's only so many left, Father, but may this year be the year that we take it upon our hearts to search and to look and to yield to You, and to let the light shine that You might find those predestinated seeds. We're thankful, Lord, that You let the light shine in us. Help us to live for others and let Your light shine to them. We love You, Lord. We appreciate You, Lord, with all our heart. We mean that. We don't just say that with words. We're thankful You're our God. We're thankful You're not like Zeus or Buddha or something where You just ready to destroy us at any moment. Lord, You, Jesus Christ, You're the God that laid down Your life for us. And not just that, when we couldn't live a Christian life, You said, I'm not going to let You worry about it. I'll die to pay it off, and I'll fill You with my Spirit so I can live the Christian life through You. We're so happy for that, Lord. Teach us, Lord, how to yield. Teach us, Lord, how to die to the flesh and everything. And let the Spirit of God quicken things in us to bring us to realms beyond our even our own understanding, to know that all heaven has been restored to us. Help each believer here. May each one be ready for this end time. May we live with new fervor as never before. May you just set a fire in our hearts, Lord, that will never back down from the word. We'll never turn to the left or to the right, but we'll follow with everything that's within us this word of the hour, seeking, Lord, for this word to be made flesh. Grant it, Lord, to each believer. We thank you, Lord, for this gathering of people, and we thank you more than anything that you're here. We love you. Help us just to love you better, to love one another the way we ought to, Lord. For love will just cover a multitude of sins. Let it be so. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and believe and receive your word. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, let's just worship him. If there's anybody that should know how to worship God, it should be the bride of Christ. You just praise him with all your heart. You just thank him. You just worship and love on him a little bit. I believe you'll like that. Don't worry about nothing else. You're going to go to bed today. But no, let's just take inventory that this could be it. And let us put our whole heart into right now. Because we can live for this moment, Lord. Lord, don't let us think of tomorrow, Lord. Tonight, what do you want from me? What can I do to love you better, Lord? How can I praise you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind? Oh, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise your glorious name. Praise your glorious name, Lord Jesus. Loves you. He just wants to live with you for all eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just keep worshiping. Thank you.
Breakthrough. Don't stop early. Get your deliverance tonight. Leave this place in God's presence. Let it abide in your heart. Look, don't stop short of the promise of God. If there's one doubt in your heart anywhere, that's Satan in your life. Say, Lord, take it away. Let me break through. Let me not worry about anything else until I get my blessing. You might wrestle with God all night. Stay there until it happens. I'm not crazy. I'm staying because God is still here to do something. Make it right now. Make it right now. Don't wait another second. Make it right, right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it right there. That's it. I don't know where that came from. That's it. Just gotta believe now that I believe. It's by faith that I receive. It's by faith. Worship him, give him praise, go and thank him, go and clap and praise his holy name, worship him, hallelujah. First time, but unless you're spiritually deaf, dumb, and blind, the presence of God is in this place. You say, Brother Andrew, you just holding up? No, I'm letting him do what he wants to do. Everybody that knows when you come to church, I don't always hold it long. But when I begin to see the Spirit moving and things, and say, oh, you're watching, no, it's the Spirit of God. And if you'll yield to it, you'll know. Maybe it's me. Maybe that's why God wants to hold everybody up from going home and going to bed. Doesn't that make you feel pretty special? Amen. How many heard from God tonight? Amen. Let's go ahead and praise Him one more time. And with all your heart, worship Him. Thank you.
Face out.
clap of praise tonight.